when you can lay your head down on your pillow at night and go to sleep thinking it's been a good day because I've made an investment in the kingdom of God. That's a good day. I heard a story a couple of weeks ago about three brothers that had really done well in life. And I thought this kind of puts a picture of what really matters. And they said that the three brothers had come together and they were bragging about what they'd done for their mom. And the first brother says, you know, I bought mom a big new house, mortgage free. I just gave it to her. Second brother says, well, you know, I bought her a brand new Mercedes and a driver. I hired her a driver, full-time driver. Take her wherever she wants to go. You know, she doesn't see very well, so I hired her. And the third one says, well, I've got you all beat. Said, I spent over $100,000 it cost me, but said, I had 20 monks full-time around the clock for several years, and they trained this parrot to quote the Bible. He can quote the entire Bible because mom loves the Bible and she can't read anymore because she can't see. And so I knew that. And all she has to do is just say, you know, John the 15th chapter, and the parrot will just quote the whole thing, man. He, you know, just that's all she has to do. And so in a little while they got a letter back from their mom. The first son that bought her the house, she said, dear son, she said, the house is so big. I really didn't need a house this big. Said, you know, I live in a couple of rooms. I have to clean the whole thing. You know, I really don't need a house this big, but, you know, thanks anyway. Second son, he got a letter and it said, dear son, said, thanks for the thought and the car, but yeah, I don't want to go anywhere. I can't see. And said, you know, it's just, I don't really need a driver. He's always after me to take me somewhere. And said, I really just wish, you know, just take the car back. I don't need a car and a driver and all that stuff. The third son got his letter. She said, dear son, finally, a son that knows what his mother loves said, you know, I appreciate so much the gift that you gave me, and said, and by the way, the chicken was delicious. Doesn't that kind of sum up where our wealth and material things are going to go someday? You know, I mean, that's about the size of it. How many realize that when Jesus Christ comes back to get his church and then he comes back at the end, everything we see is going to burn? And it's going to be restarted all over. We probably see why today with all the disease and things that's on this earth, why it has to be kind of burned out and repurified, if you will. But we're going to rule and reign with him forever and ever. And so we need to get plugged in here while we're here. And we need to get close to Jesus. I never forget Dwight Thompson. He's an evangelist one day. He said, I want to get so close to Jesus that when the devil sees me coming, he'll look and say, is that Jesus or Dwight? Wouldn't that be cool if the devil, you got so close to Jesus that when you came walking in for your prayer meeting in the morning or when you came into church, the devil would look at you and say, is that Miss Donna or is that Jesus? Who is that, you know? That we look so much like Christ. And this is what he's talking about, is getting plugged in. And he said, in the way to do that in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And you see people that are just removed, and you can tell from the branch because there's no fruit in their life. But he said, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And so he's giving us a secret here, as in it's being plugged into the vine. But it's also more than being plugged in. He's saying that when we're plugged into the vine of Jesus Christ, he said, and listen to this, he said, we need to be pruned every once in a while. A professional person that does tree service, you know, they'll come in and look like they're destroying a tree. You ever see that done where they'll prune and they have to do it a certain season, a certain time, or it will kill the tree. But they'll take away branches and things, not because they're going to kill it, but because they know how to form it and shape it so it will produce more fruit. And that's what he's saying about us. I heard a preacher say one time, well, he's going to take away for those that don't bear fruit, and he's going to prune the rest of them. Look like we're pruned if we do, and we're pruned if we don't. And that's basically the truth, that we're going to be pruned. He's going to take something away from us. And I think as Christians, we don't live to our potential, and we don't live in this full life, and we don't live life well because we don't allow God to come in and start chopping away things that we need to get rid of in our lives. We want to keep everything. And sometimes it's, and if you're a real routine person, you get in a routine, you get comfortable where you are, and it's hard for you to not do something that you're used to doing. And some of you think, because you're kind of a micromanager, you think, well, if I don't do it, it won't get done. And the thing you got to ask if that's you is, important would it be if it didn't get done? Would it affect anyone's salvation? Would it affect my relationship to Jesus Christ? Because Jesus says if you want to live and you want to produce fruit and you want to live life well, you've got to let me prune you. You've got to take the snipping. And sometimes it's hard. Some of you are just control freaks. You just be honest. You're just control freak, and you don't want to let go of it because you'd have to give control to someone else. We used to have a couple that went to church here. They moved to Missouri, and she had had a child. He had never had a child. They married later in their 30s, and they finally had a child in their late 30s. And I'll never forget how protective they were of that child. I mean, the first few months, you couldn't touch it. Nobody could hold it, you know, and it was so isolated. And about 6 months into it, you know, they're like, want to hold our baby? Because he's just clinging to them and smothering them because that's all they knew. And we're like, no, I don't think so, because he'd cry, you know, and he'd just bury their head in their lap or their shoulder. And I thought, you know, that's the way we are sometimes. We just want to just bury ourselves in something and get so attached. But we need to, every once in a while, just say, what is this really doing in my life? In fact, I try to take a yearly inventory and say, God, what is it that you need to prune from me this year that I can produce more fruit than I did last year? What is it that's on my schedule this year that really don't need to be there any longer? It's a simple process, but too many times we don't do it. Some of you might just need to get the recliner pruned out of your life. You're just stuck to it. When you get home, it's just like a magnet. It just pulls you and just sucks you in, and you know, there you go. And some of you that are busy, here's the key question to ask. When Jesus is wanting to prune you, what am I busy doing and how much effect does it have on the kingdom? What value does it bring to the kingdom of God? If I didn't do this today, who would it affect and who would it touch and who would do without? And most of us would find that very little significance would be in that question. But Jesus said, I want to prune you. I want to take away some stuff so I can make you better, so I can make you more effective for the kingdom of God. And then he says this, because sometimes we think we're being Christian if we just try to live a clean life. And that's what Christians should live, a clean life. You know, that's. But Jesus said, look in verse 3, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You're already clean. How many knows when you came to Christ, you're just as clean as you're ever going to be? Jesus took red blood and applied it to a black heart and made us whiter than snow. That's a miracle, isn't it? Kind of like a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. It's amazing to me. But that's the way he did. He takes a black heart and he puts red blood on it and makes it whiter than snow. So it's not, you know, for you that are trying to just having struggle staying clean, Jesus made you clean. Just stay plugged into Jesus, you know. If he says get rid of it, just get rid of it. He says last week we talked about imitating God. Remember he said in Ephesians the 5th chapter, be imitators of God. And so we're just looking to see what Jesus said. And that's part of the process there. He's made us clean. And just to stay on that path, we're imitating God and doing what God would do and fleeing what God will not do. He said, don't fornicate and don't get drunk and don't do all these things. And so he said, these are the things you cling to. These are the things that you flee from. And that's part of that process of living a holy life. But we shouldn't spend our time just trying to stay clean. Jesus has done the cleansing. And so what we spend our time doing, if we want to live life well, is bearing fruit. Look in verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Staying plugged in, staying in the same place with Jesus Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And that's how you can tell if you're plugged in or not, is your life bearing fruit? Are you making a difference in someone else's life? That's how you tell if you're bearing fruit or not. Everything that we do according to Scripture, that when the things we do here, if it's not for kingdom purposes or part of God's plan, and we're just doing it, when it is tried in the fire, when we stand before Christ, we'll burn in the fire. Everything we've done for Christ, listen, for instance, like you moms, being a mom to your children, I think every bit of that will go through the fire with reward, because that's a part of your plan. Being, he said, to go forth and bear fruit and multiply. And so multiplying, having children and raising your children and training them, that's a part of the process. And I believe every time, every ounce of energy you've spent on your children, I believe will go through the fire, because that's a part of your calling. And dads, the same way, as we train our children, as we provide for our children, I think all of that will go through the fire. But that's in our family. That's not in the scope of the church. And everybody should have some sort of a part to play in the bigger scheme of the church. In fact, I'd like for you to pray for me and keep me in your prayers. I'm doing a study right now, and there's a book called Halftime by Bob Buford. And Bob Buford was a wealthy TV in cable TV and spent his life making millions of dollars, and then all of a sudden discovered, you know what, is this it? Is this all there is? And he really turned his life around, and as the later part of his life, he terms it like this, I want it to be significant. And so I'm putting together a course for men, say, in their late 30s, 40s, and 50s, to try to help them say, you know what, you've made it in the business world, you've been a plumber, a bricklayer, a lawyer, it doesn't matter really what it is. You know, you've done business and you're established in business, but what are you doing for the kingdom of God? And I'd like to see every man that comes in here know what their purpose and place is in the kingdom as well. Because there's nothing more fulfilling than knowing who you are in Christ. And there's another book called From Success to Significance that I'm going to incorporate in that. And then God gave me another book this last week that's called The Cure of the Common Life by Max Lucado. And I want to do those three books and incorporate that in some sort of a training process, and then give these men an opportunity to plug into our community somewhere. And I'm really excited about it, because I believe it fits just what Jesus is saying here. It says, you know what, and it's not taking away from their business if they want to still do business just as usual, but it's saying, in addition to that, I want to have a kingdom purpose as well. And I just believe as men find that and find their place in the kingdom, their eyes just light up, and it gives them a purpose to get up out of the bed in the morning instead of saying, well, I got to go make some more money so I can have some more stuff and we can provide for the family. I believe it just gives them a real sense of purpose and significance. So I covet your prayers for this study that I'm doing, and appreciate your prayers very much. Look in verse 8. And I believe this is the key to the blessing. You know, he says when you're plugged into the vine, he teaches us that you will produce much fruit. And verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And there's two things in that verse. Number one, if you want your life to bring glory to God, he said it needs to be a fruit-producing life. And I believe this, when we bring glory to God, he pours blessing out on us. When we bring glory to God, he pours blessing out on us. Remember when Jesus was being baptized, he had yielded to the Father's command to be baptized, and he goes to John, and he's down at the river, and he says, you need to baptize me. And remember what John told him? He said, oh no, you're Jesus. I'm not even worthy to latch at your sandals. He said, you need to baptize me. And Jesus says to John, he says, listen, you need to let me obey the Father's command. This is paraphrasing. He said, but it's my time. And so John agrees to baptize him. And remember what happened? As Jesus was doing a simple act of obedience, the heavens opened and the Spirit descended like as a dove and lit upon Christ. And the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's doing the will of God. That's bearing fruit. It's when we're going about doing the business of the Father, whether it's getting baptized, and then after we're getting baptized, we're studying the Word of God, and we're keeping in prayer with Jesus Christ and communion with Him. And then as we get filled up with Jesus Christ, we go out and do and share what we've received from the Lord. And it's significant stuff. Listen, for all you that are out in the marketplace, Jana was talking about working outside the home. Listen, I believe the most important thing for you to do every day is number one, to be a good employee because you're representing Jesus Christ. But two, is to display, to be light and salt where you are. And it brings glory to the Father right where you are. In other words, when you could have a bad attitude, you know that God doesn't, He doesn't really condone a bad attitude, and so you don't take a bad attitude because it wouldn't be Christ-like. So you just sit there and shine for Jesus. Or you can just act like the world and get an attitude like everybody else. But how many knows, you just erred off the path of doing the Father's will. All I'm talking about is us being like Jesus. When He's saying staying plugged in, it's like looking like Jesus in every situation. Now, I'm a dad and I've raised kids and I got grandkids and we can't always be in a happy-go-lucky mood. But you know, when we miss the mark, you know what we can do? To be Christ-like, we can apologize. I'm the world professional apologizer. Because I don't want to stay on that path anymore. When I mess up, I'll just come apologize. You know, just get it over with. So, because I want to live a life of significance, don't you? A life that matters before God. Heard a story about a little boy, and this priest was walking down the street in his community, and this little boy, and he just had his finger up there, and he's a little bitty tyke, and he's trying to reach this doorbell, and just trying his best to ring the bell, and he couldn't reach it, and so the priest walks up finally after watching him for a little while, and puts his hand on his shoulder, and rings the bell for the little fella, and he says, "How's that?" He says, "Run!" That's the way we are a lot of times. We're wanting to help somebody and they're not really doing anything significant, but we'll help you anyway because you look busy, you know. You're ringing that bell or trying to ring a bell, you know, and we don't even know what for. I mean, knows it's more than staying busy. It's about evaluating who you are. I heard a statement. A guy says, people say, experience is the best teacher. He said that's really not an accurate statement. How many of those old people that's not very sharp? Let me see your hand. Now all of our old people in here, you're sharp, but how many just know old people? So experience is not really the best teacher, is it? And he said this, he said, but evaluated experience is the best teacher. When we evaluate what we learn and what we accomplish and what we did wrong and what we did right, and we do more of what we're doing right and we don't do what we did wrong anymore. We use this around here a lot. Insanity is hereditary. No. We don't, bless your heart, we don't use that one. We're children of the Most High. Hello. Hereditary. No. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Isn't it funny? You know, maybe it can be you and your spouse. You argue and argue and argue and you just keep arguing the same old way and you think it's going to get better and it's not. You got to do something different. Maybe it's at the workplace. You know, you do the same old thing every day, every day, every day, and think you're going to get raised, promoted. But if you're not, you need to change something. Same way in your Christian walk. If you're having struggles in your Christian walk, you need to change something. And how we change it is we get plugged in to Jesus Christ. How do you get plugged in to Jesus Christ? You know what? He said, you abide in me. He said, you stay plugged in here. This is God's word to us. When we pray, we're praying to God and talking to Him. When we read this, this is God talking to us. And to believe that you and I don't need some of this all the time, we get way off base. And here's the beauty about the Word of God. You can read something like this thing I'm going through today in John 15. I've read this, preached on it before, but it never meant what it means today. Because I'm at a different place than I was a year or 2 years ago or whatever the last time I preached on it. And it's the same way with you. As you grow, this word means something different. It means something more. God reveals a little bit more truth and gives you a little bigger nugget next time of truth because now you've shown yourself faithful over a few things and He'll hand you something a little bigger. And so you take on more peace, you take on more joy, you take on more of Christ. And it just gets better and better and better. Second thing he talks about when we're getting in here is the key thing is getting in here, and then as we mentioned a while ago, is letting Him prune you. Let me ask you something. How long has it been since you've really stopped doing something that you've always done? Now, we know we have to love God, and we love our spouse, and we love our children, love our neighbor. I'm not talking about the essential things, but I'm talking about the busy stuff. When's the last time you changed something that you've always done? And examine that. And why do you do what you've always done? Well, because that's the way we are. That maybe it's that hereditary thing somebody said, you know? There was a little piece I was reading the other day, and it's talking about this dairy farmer and his kids, and he said, his son said, we always had to get up and milk the cows every morning. Dad wakes up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and said, you know, he thought I'd be a dairy farmer, and he said, but it just wasn't interesting to him, and he, you know, and it had been like in generations they'd been dairy farmers, and come to find out, this young man that didn't want to be a dairy farmer wound up being Billy Graham. Aren't you glad his dad didn't say, you're going to be a dairy farmer? Billy wasn't created to be a dairy farmer. He was created to be a fisher of men. Thank God his dad said, you know what, this is what we, but God's got something specific for you. Some of these parents that just, you know, think their kids got to be A1 athletes. They may be, they may not be. I think our job as parents, when we're helping our kids plug in, is to just look at the talents and the abilities God's put in them. I'm going to talk about service next week, and I want to give you some things to help identify what your kids' strengths are and how to help them be who that God created them to be. Because we're going to talk about the last part of this series is about servanthood. And this is where we're going to reach the ultimate level in living well, is through servanthood and how to identify your part as a servant. But I think that's what our key role is as parents, is to say, can you imagine raising Jesus, Mary and Joseph, raising Jesus Christ? What if that had been given to you? One day, God looks down at Eric and Kish and says, I'll just pick them. Nice couple, teacher, graphic artist, you know, got creativity and education here going on. We'll just pick them to raise our son. And Kisha, you come over to Eric and say, well, I'm pregnant. And Eric would have been just like Joe. Well, whose is it? That's what Joe said, and then he's going to divorce her, you know. And so you'd have went through all that process. But can you imagine after you got through all that process and then all of a sudden Jesus is a toddler and he reaches up for a little trinket on the shelf and do you say, no? What do you do? Do you just move the trinket? This is God's son. Well, you know what? Your children, your son, your daughter's God's child too. And they're important. They're made in the image of God. And so it's important that we help them and train them just like they're God's own son, because they are. They belong to Him. He lets us use them for a little while and keep them for a little while. Caden asked me, one of my youngest grandsons here, he says, Papa, when you die, can I have your guitar? A legitimate question, isn't it? You've seen him set up here, and he noticed my guitar is better than his. And I said, sure, you can have my guitar. I said, are you in a hurry for me to go? No, Papa, no. But he's just, you know, but I watch him, and that's really intriguing to him to sit there and to play, you know. And I know it's kind of risky because, you know, there's other kids wanting to do other things. And so I've really limited him. But that's just something important to him. And I just want to plant a seed in him that says, you know, you can be whatever God wants you to be. But you got to stay plugged in. And I told him this. I said, if you'll practice when you get a little older, I'll buy you a better guitar and I'll put you in lessons. And so if the passion's still there, I'll help him with that. because there may be something that's plugged in there. When I was 10, I got my first guitar, and I believe that Jesus was working in my life right then. I wasn't born again, but I believe Christ was working in my life, and now I can help out a little on the guitar, and I didn't start doing praise. I started with Hank Williams Sr. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds some blue fly. What is it? He's lost the will to live or something? Is it? He's lost the will to live. I'm so lonesome I couldn't die. You know, that's what I started with. But when I was whining in my bedroom, God says, right there, see a little potential. He'll just stay after it. And so sure enough, you know, I got all the calluses and stayed after it and then wrote a few songs, and then he transformed me from that to gospel. And now I'm when I come back from Japan, we're going to go in and complete the CD with about 13 songs on there, and the process continues. But it started a long time ago in the same way in your life, but staying plugged into Jesus Christ is the key. Let me close with an illustration. I thought it was really cool. It says there was a guy that had created two clay pots, and he would use these every day as he'd walk down to the stream, and he would dip them in the water and put them on his shoulders on this pole, and he would carry them back to this house. And one day, one of the clay pots developed a crack. It's a crack pot. How many crack pots we got in the house? We're all crack pots. You know what? We all leak. That's why he said, you got to abide, 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 you got to abide. Because he knows we're all crack pots. But every day he'd go down to the stream and he'd fill these two clay pots that he had made, and one of them developed the crack. And so by the time he got back to his house, the one pot would only be half full or less than half full. And the pot was really feeling terrible, you know, the story goes. And he said, you know, I'm sorry that I can't hold the water that you put in me. And he said, I don't know if I'm worth anything anymore or not. And the story goes like this, that the master looked at the pot and said, just come with me, I want to show you something. And on the way back down to the stream, he said, I want you to notice on the side of the path that you're always on, he said, how much greener and more lush it is on the side of the path where I walk every day. He said, you know why it's that way? It's because every day you leak something on them that they need. And he said, I knew that you couldn't hold all the water from here to the house, but you're giving them water as well. And you have value. And the reason Jesus says, I want you to stay plugged in, is because we're getting full of Jesus Christ. And he just wants us to know that I can use, in fact, the only thing he can use is a cracked pot like you. And our mission in life is to get full of Jesus Christ and then to go out in our community and leak Jesus wherever we are. Just leak Jesus wherever we are. Not preach Jesus. Not get preachy and all holy, but just as to be there to let people know, I love you and I appreciate you. To let people know, hey, if you ever need anything, you know, I'm a Christian. I don't know if you knew that or not, but if you ever need anything, just call me. I'm a great prayer warrior, and I'm a good listener. You know, I've told that to men wherever I've been in business or working, and you would be surprised the men that have come back to me in their time of trouble and say, you know, you told me one time, and I've got a girlfriend, or I've got a wife, or I've got a situation going on, or I've got this, or I've got that going on in my life. One of my greatest stories of all was a man named David. When I used to work, I just started the church, and I needed something to supplement my income. Went to work at Love Box, and the Lord began to deal with me about a forklift driver named David. Barroom brawler. He'd come in scuffed up because he liked to fight. And he said, I want you to tell David every day, Jesus loves you. And so every day I'd just say, David, you know, I'm a Christian. I just feel like God wants me to tell you every day, Jesus loves you. And he started cursing at me. You blank. You know what? And I didn't take it personal because I just tried to obey God. See, so there's too many Christians, when somebody's cranky with you, you change just like they do. I mean, that's not leaking Jesus. That's leaking pride and the flesh and carnality, but that's not leaking Jesus. And so I didn't change my attitude, didn't change my words. Every day I'd tell him for several months, every day. And David always knew I was going to tell him. And so I like to just, you know, change it up. So sometimes I'd tell him early. Sometimes he'd come by two or three times. And I'd just wait because I knew he knew I was going to tell him. Sometimes we'd be in the break room with about 40 guys. I'd say, David, God loves you, man. Be a cold day, you know, you know, he just started his little stuff, you know. And I look over at my friends at the table, I say, I think he's getting weak, you know. I didn't change my attitude because I set my attitude right here being plugged into Jesus before I left the table, before I left home. I already set my attitude. So one day, finally, I said to David, I said, David, Jesus loves you. And he was on a forklift, and he had brought us some material. We made boxes, you know, corrugated boxes. And he brought some material and said, David, Jesus loves you. And this one day, he finally just surrendered, and he goes like this. Raised his hand. I don't know why he raised his hand. Maybe that's surrender. I just surrender. I don't know. But he raised his hand. And every day after that, he would just... That's what he did. He just raised his hand like, I surrender, you know. And so one day before, I didn't work there but a few months, and then our church grew where I couldn't really work there anymore. And so, but before I left, David came to me one day, and we were washing up at the end of the day in the men's room, and he said, Preacher, he said, you know what, I know I need to get right with God, and I will someday, and thank you for praying for me. Oh, wow. I leaked Jesus enough till it finally got in. But you got to keep leaking Jesus. Because some of them's really, they're hard and they're crusty and the soil is so hardened that it takes a lot of leaking and a lot of moisture for it to finally get to where it needs to be. I can remember asking Jesus one time, I said, Lord, if he hits me in the nose, do I still have to tell him tomorrow? It's a legitimate question for a barroom brawler guy, you know. But one of my greatest joys in life was I saw David several years later at a Burger King over by where he worked. And I said, do you remember me? And I said, I'm the pastor, Jack. And yeah, he used to tell you about Jesus. And he said, oh man, that was a dark time in my life. I'm sorry. You know, because he could remember all the cursings and stuff he gave me. And I said, what are you up to nowadays? What are you and Jesus doing? He said, you wouldn't believe it. I drive a school bus or church bus and I pick up kids for our church on Sunday mornings. That's leaking Jesus. That's making a difference. That's saying that there's something in me that you need, and I'm not arrogant with it, I'm not proud, because it's nothing to do with me, it's just a gift that Jesus Christ gave me, and I want to just hand it on to you. Let's bring independence to a lost and dying world. Let's leak Jesus wherever we go. How many will be a crackpot for Jesus? Let me see your hand. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for all these crackpots. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the independence that we enjoy as Christians. God, we stand free today because of the finished work of Jesus Christ that we've accepted. And now, Lord, I pray that as you have commanded us, that we'll stay plugged in, that you are the branch and we're the vines. And we cannot accomplish anything of significance without staying plugged into you. Help us, teach us how to do that through prayer and through getting the Word of God in our heart. Help us to just fill up with your Word and go out and just give it away in a loving manner, just leaking Jesus wherever we go. Not flooding people, not giving it out and being abusive with it, but just softly and tenderly leaking Jesus wherever we go. Planting the living water in people where we go at work, in our community, down to dry cleaners, down to the grocery store, at the gym, wherever we go in our daily routine, God. Let us just leak Jesus and bring independence to lost and dying souls. Let the love of Jesus permeate from us just like a refreshing rain. through meekness and a heart that's compassionate for people and passion, has a passion for Jesus and a passion for lost people, for hurting people. God, we want to look like You. And You said we can if we'll stay plugged in. So help us, Lord, to stay plugged in. Help us, God, to bear fruit so we can bring glory to the Father that loves us and gave His Son for us. And as we bring glory to the Father, we know that it's in His nature just to pour out blessing back upon us again. And the cycle continues as we pour out more blessing and we glorify the Father. He pours out more blessing upon us. So help us, Lord, to get in this cycle of getting full of Jesus and sharing Jesus and getting blessed. And getting full of Jesus and sharing Jesus and getting blessed. And getting full of Jesus and sharing Jesus and getting blessed. Because that's where we can live life well and be a light and salt to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.